everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Your advanced scout was there at the game, but he was not videotaping on the field or coaches' signs from across the field.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Here we go again on our own, going down the only road we've ever known. Also, will the Cubs trade Chris Bryant? What? Hang on to your butt, Bob Ryan. We start with Belichick home movies.
You know, evidently this is our production people on the TV show that were there. And I have absolutely nothing to do. We have absolutely nothing to do with anything that they produce, direct, or shoot or anything. I've never even seen any of their tapes or anything else. So this is something that we 100% have zero involvement with.
The latest on this, Ian Rappaport reporting for the NFL Network, that the NFL is inclined to believe the Patriots. That doesn't mean there won't be a penalty. The latest from the Cincinnati side, a report from Paul Daner of The Athletic, that the video obtained includes 8 minutes of footage focusing on the Bengals sideline. So on to Cincinnati has all new meaning, Bob Ryan. You're in Boston. What are you doing with this information?
The eternal legacy of Spygate was going to be that henceforth all the Patriots organization staff, coaches, players, and fans will be placed on the defensive for the rest of their lives. This is a manifestation of that. I don't know what happened for sure. I would like to believe that Belichick is not that foolish as to have tried to sanction something like this, risking the consequences. But if the point is, even if he's telling the truth, in the eyes of the American sporting public, it doesn't matter. The majority of people will always believe the negative about the Patriots as a result of Spygate and maybe even some other things. He's telling the truth that there is a production company. We're doing a thing called Do Your Job. And the guy that's job was being focused on this week was the advanced scout. I don't believe, frankly, that he is stupid enough to have sanctioned this. But then again, I don't know for sure. All I know is it doesn't matter what the league does in terms of the American public's judgment. The Patriots are guilty once again.
Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, I'm part of the American sporting public that Bob just referenced, and he's absolutely right. Perception is reality, and I don't care what the Patriots say, how this can happen to them yet again is inexcusable and inexplicable. And there's no way to get from under the cloud of what it appears to be. I agree with Bob that there's no way that the Patriots would allow this to happen after what happened with Spygate back in 07. But once again, someone has flagged them. They have to explain it, and it just doesn't sound credible at all.
That 8 minutes focusing on the Bengals sideline.
8 minutes on the Bengals,
which is the report we have today. Tim Kalischer, where are you on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm in the same place. I tend to believe Belichick, as uncomfortable as that may seem. when you think about something where the risk far outweighs the reward. This is the team that got penalized a first-round pick for filming the Jets sideline years ago. And now they're going to go film the Bengals for 8 minutes? I mean, it just doesn't seem probable. But as Bob spelled out nicely, it's the Patriots. You never say for sure they're not capable of doing something exactly
And Ramona
like
Shelburne?
Yeah, look, I actually believe them because I think production companies, particularly outside production companies, where like this is their main gig, they're kind of artistes, right? Like maybe they do need all that B-roll to create this video of the advance.
Well, you had said it before we sat down, if I can interrupt for a second, Ramona, when you've done podcasts before, you have done that advanced B-roll. You have taken audio and you sit on audio for a few minutes to get a flavor and a temperature of the room, right?
Yeah. The room tone.
Yes, exactly.
Right? We have to
get
the room tone after you tape an interview. So I understand the artistic process, and I will give them that. But it almost doesn't matter because I think the NFL has to crack down on this. I think they have to punish them because perception is reality, as we know here. And I think, you know, here out in Los Angeles, the Lakers had a little tampering problem for a while here. And they had to have a zero-tolerance policy internally. Didn't matter if you work for the team, outside vendor. They were sending notes to team employees, vendors, saying nothing, you cannot tamper at all. They had to be so careful about it because they knew they were under the microscope.
Mm-hmm. Bob, did you want to add something? Is there something you wanted to address?
Well, yes, one thing, a couple things. One is the head must roll. Someone who signed off knowing that any video would be suspect or should have known, some head must roll in the Kraft production company, okay, that's for sure. And if there were any other team, this wouldn't be a big deal. This would be the same happened with Deflategate. Any other team, it would have been settled by lunch hour the day after
that game. I don't know if I believe that, but fine, Bob. It's not any other team. It's the greatest dynasty in the sport. And it was allegedly the worst team in football this year that they were looking at. That's what just boggles my mind, honestly, that it's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Always looking for an edge.
The edge? You need an edge to beat the Bengals? Is that what we're talking about here? You would think this is different. This would be a different story for you if it was the Kansas City Chiefs or the Baltimore Ravens, right? I think we're all laughing at the lunacy of this because it's the Cincinnati Bengals a little bit. This would get to the point of former players crying on ESPN over how serious this was if it was the Ravens. It's the Bengals. It's kind of, I cannot believe we're here today talking about this. We're going to move on. Let's talk about someone talking named Jerry Jones. Can anyone believe that? His usual Tuesday, Friday slot on 105.3 The Fan. He said he's not talking to coaches yet. He also said he won't rule out a guy like Urban Meyer. This has been heard by people since Gallagher's show because he said this in public. So I ask you, since this is your account in Dallas, what is Jerry saying?
You know, no one here feels sorry for Jason Garrett, and I understand that. And they don't need to, but this is what you deal with if you're the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, an owner who hasn't even acknowledged there's a coaching problem, saying, no, we didn't meet with Urban Meyer, but that's not to say we would ever not meet with somebody like that. And he does it in such a way, you're just sitting there scratching your head, trying to figure out exactly what he means. There will be meetings at some point with coaches. Urban Meyer has pretty much announced he would like to be one of them when he was answering a question about Lincoln Riley. He talked about how great the Cowboys' job is. So I would be surprised if he's not interviewed in the near future. It just hasn't happened.
Tim, you've been saying, though, that, well, Jerry kind of boxes himself into a corner here and that he has to, if he's going to replace Garrett, bring in a championship-caliber coach. And with the exception of, I don't know, Belichick, where does he go? He has to go to college.
Right.
He doesn't like doing that.
He doesn't really want to go to the college ranks. He normally hires coordinators or former NFL head coaches, but he has to hit. He can't do a minor hire this time. This one has to be.
KB, you know Jerry very well as well from your time at the Dallas Morning News. How do you read this?
Well, he may not like to go to the college ranks, but he sure went there with that stunner one year, Barry Switzer, as your new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. But Jim's absolutely right. Sometimes you just can't read what Jerry's talking about. You don't know what he's going to do. He can be extremely unpredictable. The only thing that seems to be predictable is that he's probably going to change coaches at the end of this year. You would think that Urban Meyer would be in that mix, Lincoln Riley would be in that mix, and probably somebody that we are not even thinking of, like a Barry Switzer, is probably in that mix.
Maybe it is Barry Switzer. Maybe it's Chan Gailey. Maybe it's Jimmy Johnson again. Who knows, Bob Ryan?
If the criterion is championship coach. It's a very, very limited field, as Tim has pointed out. I would love to see Urban Meyer be the guy just for the fun factor for the rest of us to see how that would work out. We'd all be comparing it to what Nick Saban went through in Miami and see if he can do what Nick Saban could not do. I'm sure he'd love to do what Nick Saban could not do. Who knows? That might even be a motivating factor for an Urban Meyer.
Ramona?
Well, look, when he said he hasn't talked to any coaches yet, but I think we've all been in the business long enough to know that you don't actually have to talk directly to the coach to talk to the coach, right? I mean, there's people who you go in between and you get a sense of where things are. And I, as Tim said, people don't really feel sorry for Jason Garrett at this point. But if you're talking about the next coach, why don't you just get rid of the coach now? Why don't you get rid of the current coach now? Because it, you know, it seems like he doesn't want to go there yet. He made some decision that they're not going to do a mid-season change. But you're already talking about the next
coach. Well, he can't get rid of the current coach because he needs somebody to coach the last three games as you're trying to win the woeful NFC East. Speaking of, let's speak of that. The team they're tied for first with, the Philadelphia Eagles last night. Doug Peterson said he was one more receiver away from getting hurt to go into Josh McCown, his 40-year-old backup quarterback, part-time high school coach, to play receiver. So, on the scale of brutal, horrible, boot off the field in the second quarter, only dressed three wide receivers, two get hurt, vomit factory, two, season turning around, overtime win, what was yesterday for the Eagles, KB?
It was a huge W. I mean, you talk about a team that was falling apart on the television screen. A team that turned to all manner of people to try and help them win this game. A quarterback turned into a wide receiver, a Darren Sproles understudy. And somehow Carson Wentz looked at in half of this game like he did at the beginning of the season and willed this team to win. Look, someone's got to win the NFC East, and there's nothing wrong with that. As Herm Edwards famously said, you play to win the game.
So this is a win, is a win, even if it came against the Giants and it came like that. Kalashaw, you agree?
It was just an amazing game to watch, to think that there are playoff implications here. You're watching the game going, how does Jeff Ward not catch that pass? And then you're thinking, who is Jeff Ward? How did he get into the picture here? What are the Eagles doing? You know, actually, from where they were, as KB said, just getting booed ridiculously at halftime, it was kind of a nice comeback. They have a little momentum. That's something the Cowboys don't have.
You know who doesn't have momentum right now? You, Kalashaw, because it's not even Jeff Ward, it's Greg Ward. I was going to let you finish.
Greg Ward.
Until you got Ramona Shelburne, how about you?
Look, they're just finding new running backs out of nowhere, too. The guy's name is Boston Scott, right? He came out and had a great day yesterday. And it's sometimes in moments like this where your season is basically over if you lose this game. They would have fallen to 5-8. And even though Dallas doesn't seem to want to win the NFC East either, like, that, it's hard to come back from 5-8. But somebody's got to win that division. I didn't find it to be a particularly impressive win. But you know what? A win's a win.
Okay.
Carson Wentz led a comeback. It's something he's not supposed to be good at. And now they're still alive. They're still breathing.
Bob,
maybe they'll sneak in.
I've done this show with you for a decade and a half. I know you feel a win is a win is a win. I get that. But when you look at this Eagles team that's on the field last night, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that Carson Wentz and his unknowns, and by the way, the best first name in the league, obviously, is Boston Scott, that they were able to do what Tom Brady and his unknowns were not able to do. Then again, the Brady team actually faced a team with a pass rush. But the fact is that Wentz did silence a lot of critics last night. Those guys all deserve credit for what they did, and they did need the game. It matters to them. Somebody has to win. The rule, I looked it up, by the way, guys, okay? Someone has to represent the NFC East. It's in the bylaws.
Okay.
So it's and so they have a chance to do that. So, of course, it's an important win for them.
Can we talk 1 second about Eli Manning? Because this was the 500 bowl for Eli Manning. If he win, he'd be above. If he lost, he did. But he came out balling. He really, really did. Anybody see something? Kalashaw, did you see something in Eli's performance to make you think, all right, maybe there's more here?
I mean, he can still play a little. I don't think anybody's totally surprised at that. I don't know if he can do it for 16 games for somebody.
There have been two Hall of Fame quarterbacks with a career losing record under 500. Anybody know? For points. I'll go give them to you right now. Anyone?
Joe Namath.
Namath, yes, yes, and?
Jurgensen
is correct. Let's go to break. That's how you finish a show strong.
Number nine, baby.
Fire Cell next.
Look at Sonny.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
It's buy or sell. We start with the Baltimore Ravens talking about Lamar Jackson's quad injury this week. Quad injury. Didn't you guys know about this? They play Thursday night, so 51 hours from kickoff right now. They play the Jets, Ramona Shelburne. How should the Ravens play this?
with extreme caution. Look, he only had 40 yards rushing in that game against the Bills, and that's his lowest rushing total of the year.
Only 40, yeah.
And obviously, he was only 40, right? But obviously, he's dealing with it, and you don't have anything if you don't have Lamar Jackson. I know you want that number one seed, but you got to keep that guy healthy. Look, they got Robert Griffin III. I know he hasn't started since 2016, but, you know, he can do a reasonable approximation.
TC?
You got to be cautious, and they have, in effect, a game and a half lead on the Patriots for home field since they're a game up, and they got the tiebreaker. You don't want to do something that risks losing to the Jets, though. If he can play, you're still going to put him out there and just be cautious.
KB?
You're right, Ramona. They have RG3, and that's who they should look to as guidance for what they should do, which is to put this guy on bubble wrap, put him on ice until he is healthy. RG3, a similar type of player, running all around, had a knee injury, got sat down, came back for the playoffs.
So this is enough for you. Just a whisper of a quad injury is enough for you to say no start on the short week. Okay. Bob Ryan, how about you?
Absolutely not.
In matters such as these, I believe in Uber Alice. The Uber Alice being health Uber Alice, health over location, health over seating. If there's the slightest doubt, he does not play. They've got that aforementioned cushion with the Patriots. They have very little to worry about. Don't play him.
We'll move on. Buy or sell to baseball. Steven Strasburg's $250 million. For the moment, the highest yearly rate ever for a pitcher. What that does to Anthony Rendon and Washington, KB, I want to ask you about that. Also, what it does to Gerrit Cole. Go ahead, KB.
Well, it's great for Nats fans. You want to see this guy come back. He's been everything. And last year, he was the Max Scherzer who wasn't really on the team. And the other thing is, inside the numbers, $80 million apparently deferred on Strasburg's salary. So maybe that gives them some wiggle room to keep Rendon.
So you think that opens the door for Rendon? Oh, interesting. Bob Ryan, how about you?
I don't think that anything over 4 years makes any sense whatsoever for any pitcher. But the guy who, by the way, in 8 years of full-time duty has only qualified for the ERA three times. He's fragile. By years 5, 6, and 7, they may be very sorry that they did this.
You're selling this deal. Shelburne, how about you?
Well, it's funny. We spent all last winter talking about how nobody was spending any money. No deals were getting done. And then you see a deal like this. I was flabbergasted when I saw it. And it was probably 60, 70 million more than anybody thought he was going to get. And so if you're Gerrit Cole, you just sit back going, "Woo, I'm going to get 300 million now.
Good Kalisha.
I'm going to go the other route on him being fragile. He hasn't thrown the innings that a lot of 31-year-olds have thrown because of that. Mm-hmm. I don't see him as a pitcher who's ready to decline. I think you get 4 or 5 good seasons out of him, and sure.
So it was a brilliant move for the Nationals to not pitch him so much his first couple of years. All right. Sticking with baseball, buy or sell three, the Chicago Cubs and Chris Bryant. How we got here, and by we, I mean they, and by they, I mean the Cubs, and by here, I mean the idea of parting ways with a 27-year-old former Rookie of the Year MVP, 3-time All-Star. Bryant, making the case he should be a free agent now because he deserved to be called up earlier his rookie year, those 8 games in 10 days the Cubs, he alleges, purposely kept him down to control his rights. That grievance still weeks away, maybe into the new year, from being adjudicated. And the Cubs with some overall financial restrictions here, Tim Kalisha, so everything's in play. What do you buy, what do you sell?
I'm selling the idea that he's going to win the grievance. That's a rule, and you're not going to overturn everything in baseball with one hearing. But what I hate is just the idea of the Cubs moving on from him. I still think of the last out of that World Series. He's fielding the ball. He's almost falling down, the joy on his face as he throws it to Rizzo, and everybody just erupting there at Wrigley Field. You want to have that in your memory and say, yeah, we traded him, and he played 10 years for somebody else. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know what? When he was not brought up from the minors for those 12 days, I think it was, the 12 games in 2015, they didn't cry foul then, even though they knew exactly what the situation was. It is a horrible rule. They need to get rid of it. But don't get rid of Chris Bryant. You got a brand new manager coming in, and you're going to lose the best player on your
Bob
team?
Ryan.
That's crazy.
Well, as I recall, they very much did know it, and they screamed about it then.
Yeah,
and now they're trying to get it undone ex post facto. I don't see how you improve yourself trading Chris Bryant, but I lament the state of affairs in baseball that creates situations such as this where I have to talk about trading a Chris Bryant or a Mookie Betts. It's just sad. It's bad. It's counterproductive to baseball's best interest.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, it's obvious that the top of the market is too high and the bottom of the market is too low and the middle class is getting squeezed in baseball. Like, they have to do something about the market in baseball altogether, because it doesn't work at this point, and you're creating situations where there's no way you can argue the Cubs are better without Chris Bryant. But they're probably going to do it, and he's probably going to lose that appeal, which makes him a much more valuable trade target with 2 years left on his deal.
Tim, did you have a grievance, not a grievance at one point, the grievance Vasquez of this I heard that. I heard it. And Bob Ryan, you're going to take a break right here, too. Ramona Shelburne, Kevin Blackstone is our showdown next. Stick around.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Momo and KB, you guys are in showdown. You always talk about winning the press conference. Well, who won the press conference is my question. Because Ole Miss introducing Lane Kiffin, that was something. It was a pep rally. And this is Arkansas introducing Sam Pittman, who they stole away
from
Georgia.
As you can tell, this means a lot, you know.
Ramona, who won the press conference?
Well, that is a nice, lovely moment. But Lane Kiffin won the press conference because that pep rally was there at his press conference, but there was also a pep rally on the tarmac when he landed in Oxford. And Lane Kiffin says at his press conference, sure beats the last experience I had on the tarmac when he got fired at USC after a game.
Ramona, that's a funny story, but come on. We've seen Lane Kiffin arrive several times. We've never seen Coach Pittman as a head coach, and you can see this guy was really feeling this opportunity. 58 years old, coached everywhere, and finally getting an opportunity. I'd play for that guy.
Absolutely right, KB. We'll move on.
Sap.
You're still in this, Ramona. Maybe you could pick up the split here, because this next story is about bowling. Le'Veon Bell bowling. He missed the Jets game with the flu. He was bowling, the New York Post reports, from 10:30 to 1 a.m. Saturday night. KB, Adam Gase says he won't discipline Bell because he didn't violate team rules. You all right with that?
Yeah, I'm all right with that, because the most important thing with Le'Veon Bell is that he said he was going to play for the Jets a few weeks ago. He's comfortable there. What I'm not comfortable with is the fact that it wasn't a fashion violation, because the guy was wearing, apparently, orange leather pants while he was bowling. Are you kidding me? Have you ever seen Earl Anthony
do that?
All right,
yes.
Look, I got Lane Kiffin on my mind, but apparently we have two now Lane violations here.
Get it? Do we have two Woody Pages on the show? How about Ramona? Can't me take the FaceTime.
Shout out to Megan Rapinoe for winning the Sportsman of the Year award, but let us not forget what Simone Biles did this year, becoming the most decorated gymnast ever, as well as continue to be a face for the Me Too movement in sports, expressing her outrage at what happened to her within U.S. Gymnastics and to other women within USA Gymnastics. Don't forget Simone Biles.
That's good to do it, folks. Thanks for coming around. We're on a 23 and a half hour break. See you tomorrow around the horn.